turns in that indictment involving the investigation of Planned Parenthood.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The reason they have these California IDs, and these are bogus, was because Planned Parenthood is a bank of anti-abortion activists. Mm-hmm. And they didn't, and they would have been in the bank, so that they said, we have to use these phony IDs so Planned Parenthood won't know who we are. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the rationale.
Well, that is the rationale, so that they could go in to be able to expose this and do investigative journalism to uncover, in fact, the practice that was happening. Nobody's saying that Planned Parenthood wasn't doing that. In fact, they were, and they subsequently changed their policies and procedures. I don't feel that this is going to go anywhere further than a grand jury indictment like we've seen. I do not believe that they have sufficient evidence to convict them of the felony or the other charges. There was no intent specifically to sell or procure these fetal body parts, so this is basically a witch hunt.
Yeah, the other
and it's
charge
very low standard to get it.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
You can't prove the intent there because we weren't actually going to buy these fetal parts. But let me just tell you, I just got off the phone with the lawyer for the center, right? And he said, and I looked at the statute, and he's right. It's an affirmative defense under this statute to say that the false document, yeah, it is false, but it was not intended to defraud.
Right.
Instead, it was intended to uncover illegal activity.
Right.
So that's going to be their defense, and I think it's a good one.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. We talked about this, broke the news yesterday, and this was the situation with the indictment of Planned Parenthood, and the investigation of Planned Parenthood ends up being an indictment of the investigative journalists that were involved in uncovering the barbaric acts of Planned Parenthood. Now, the twist and turn in this is that the indictment, of course, comes down, and rather than it being against Planned Parenthood, it's an indictment of who? Well, an indictment of the investigative journalists. Now, the district attorney's office was asked months ago about recusing itself on appointing a special prosecutor in this because it was known at the outset of the investigation that one of the assistant district attorneys in that office was not only a supporter of Planned Parenthood, but ready for this, a board member of Planned Parenthood. And that in and of itself should have been enough for the appointment of a special prosecutor. The DA said, the woman said, that's the district attorney, District Attorney Anderson, said that they were going to make sure that this particular staff member wasn't involved, but it taints the entire office. And Jordan, when you've got an investigation of this high profile, and it should have been against Planned Parenthood for selling body parts, not the investigative journalist that uncovered the criminal activity, you would think that the DA would go the extra mile in this case to avoid the appearance of impropriety, but that's not what they did.
Yeah, that's right. And so what you saw is this bizarre twist. The initial investigation, everyone was led to believe, was into Planned Parenthood's practices. The bizarre twist, then it comes after the investigative reporters who uncovered what Planned Parenthood was doing. And no charges against Planned Parenthood. They're cleared by the district attorney, but you get these charges from the investigators. Charges, as we've heard from a number of legals, scholars and pundits, and we've talked about this broadcast, that do not add up in court, but it tarnishes the entire investigative project. And that's exactly what Planned Parenthood wanted to do. I think they probably realized they've got plenty of decent attorneys on their side, that they realize that these charges are probably not going anywhere. That doesn't matter because
right.
The headlines in the mainstream media, which basically ignored these videos, now is that, hey, those people behind those videos we didn't really show you, they're the criminals. They're the ones indicted for crimes.
But then very quickly, we're running right into the break here, but this is not impacting. We need to be clear on this. This does not negatively impact the congressional investigations that are going on right now.
That underlying congressional investigation of these practices going beyond Planned Parenthood, by the way, Jay, those will definitely continue. But I will say this, it certainly makes that one-sided indictment make sense. It looked political, and this only underscores that it probably was.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're taking your calls, and we're going to talk about this issue, of course, with Planned Parenthood. We're also talking about Donald Trump and not going to the next debate scheduled for tomorrow night, the Fox News debate. What do you think about that? 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. It could be about Planned Parenthood. It could be about the Donald Trump debate scenario. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. Hey, sign on to our brief on this Planned Parenthood case. You can do that at aclj.org. It's a Texas abortion case and the regulation of clinics. We want to make sure those regulations stay in place. You can be part of that committee, aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. And again, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110.
The U.S.
U.S. Supreme Court is deciding the biggest abortion case in decades. It's a law that could shut down deadly abortion clinics and save countless lives. Texas passed a critical pro-life law requiring basic safety standards at abortion clinics and ensuring that women injured in abortions could be quickly admitted to hospitals. Yet abortionists refuse to comply with these constitutional, common sense standards. Now the stage is set at the U.S. Supreme Court, and in just a matter of days, we will be filing a critical amicus brief to vigorously defend life and defeat big abortion. There's still time to add your name to our brief. Sign on to our committee to defend pro-life laws and save lives. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So there's a serious question being raised in this Planned Parenthood case investigation that turns into an indictment against the individuals that were the investigative journalists. We represent one of the board members, former board members of the Center for Medical Progress. And the concern, of course, is not only why would you turn the focus of the indictment onto the investigative journalist, which should be protected by the First Amendment, rather than Planned Parenthood, who was allegedly engaged in the sale of body parts. And you had Cecilia Richer apologizing for the tone of all of that. And we'll get some of that soundbite in a moment. But the fact is, it turned into an investigation and now an indictment of the investigative journalists. Now, in that DA's office is a board member from Planned Parenthood. Now, Cecilia Richards has said, you know, she recognized right away they were in trouble. Here's what she said when this first broke.
In the video, one of our staff members speaks in a way that does not reflect that compassion. This is unacceptable, and I personally apologize for the staff member's tone and statements.
Yeah, so this sounds a lot like Lois Lerner. You know, they apologize, but they don't do anything. And I think the reality of what we've got here right now, and this is the seriousness of it, is you look at the situation and you understand that this is something happened inside that grand jury room to turn the attention to the investigative journalist, not Planned Parenthood. Something happened inside that room. And folks, again, our book Undemocratic is coming out next week. This is why you need to get it. It talks about these bureaucracies, and these DA offices are bureaucracies like every other government agency. Undemocratic, the paperback's out next week. Rogue, Reckless, and Renegade. How the government is stealing democracy one agency at a time. Get it. We want to get on the New York Times bestsellers list, and it talks about these kind of issues. We're going to take calls and comments. Let me first get, I want to reset the Washington investigation of Planned Parenthood, and Jordan will talk about the Texas investigation of Planned Parenthood, which is continuing. First, let's talk about, I want people to understand, it's not that the investigation of Planned Parenthood have stopped. That's not correct. It's just one DA in one county in Texas. So let's talk about what's happening in Washington, then Jordan's going to talk about what the Attorney General in Texas is doing.
Well, the Washington investigation, Jay, contrary to the soundbite that you just played from Cecile Richards, is not about how staff responded to a given situation or a customer. It is about the actions that happened inside Planned Parenthood. On those videos, you saw the harvesting of baby body parts and then haggling over the sales price, which would be illegal under federal law. So the congressional investigation that is underway, it's largely happening behind closed doors. It is about Planned Parenthood. It is also about the rest of the abortion industry and those practices, the sale of those body parts, which would be illegal. So that is going to continue. The fact that Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers were not indicted does not change that. That investigation will continue.
All right. So Jordan also doesn't, as Greg Abbott has said, as the Texas State Attorney General instead. It's not going to affect the Texas investigations going on.
That's right. So Texas, the state, this is separate from the county, is investigating Planned Parenthood. Under the Attorney General's office, Governor Abbott has instructed his Attorney General to do that, and that's what's happening there. And so this, again, the Planned Parenthood will try to act as, oh, this is over. But in reality, these investigations of Planned Parenthood are very much in their early stages.
So, again, folks, the understanding here is I want people to understand this is not going away. These investigations are going forward. All right, let's go ahead. We're going to take some phone calls at 800-684-3110. Steve is calling from Houston, Texas. There you go. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing today, Jay?
Good.
Hey, I appreciate your program.
Thank you.
I'm calling from Houston.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask you if you think this is really just a legal strategy on the part of Planned Parenthood to try and discredit the investigator, try and go on the offensive, try and deflect the attention away from them because they know they're in really deep trouble.
So Steve, I'm trying to figure out what happened in that grand jury room. And I know this because I've been practicing law a long time, that the DA sets the tone of the investigation because the reality is you don't have a defense lawyer there. There's not a judge there. The DA sets the tone of this investigation. And you got to ask yourself this question. How did it turn in focus from Planned Parenthood to the investigative journalist? That meant that the case presented by the district attorney was exactly that. That when it went into the courtroom or it went into the grand jury room, Jordan, what happened was the DA presented the case as an indictment against the investigative journalist.
Yeah, that's right. So instead of investigating Planned Parenthood, putting forward information that made people believe in this grand jury that it was actually the videographers who were on who were supposed to be looking into. And it was clear that what wasn't explained was the whole role of an investigative journalist. I mean, it just seems like that was completely left out so that these grand jury members really did not have the full information that they would be necessary to understand. Yes, on its face, it can be this, but these are affirmative defenses. This is when the First Amendment kicks in, and that's what's supposed to happen to these grand juries. Instead, what you saw was a direct, obvious focus on the investigators themselves and not Planned Parenthood.
All right, let me tell you what I'd like you to do, folks. We've got a brief we're filing at the Supreme Court of the United States on Monday. It is out of Texas, of all places. It is on abortion clinic regulations, and we want to make sure those regulations stay in place. So you're going to join a committee that's standing for life at the Supreme Court of the United States. And then when we file that brief, for those of you that sign it, I'm going to send you a downloadable PDF version of the actual Supreme Court brief that you can print out and have for your records at home. So you can tell your kids and your grandkids you were part of a Supreme Court case. We just need you to go to ACLJ.org and sign onto the brief there, ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. So either ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. You can do it in either place, but again, we want you to be really part of history here and help us take a stand for life. 151,000 people have signed on to this brief. And Than, are we representing members of Congress in this one?
Not in this case. Yeah. We have in the past, Jay, though. So we're going to engage members of Congress. They won't be physically signing it, however.
Yeah. So this is, which makes it even more historic. So this is us, folks. This is the ACLJ and you on this brief to the Supreme Court of the United States. So I want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 and be part of this historic brief to the Supreme Court of the United States. We're also getting some calls about the, I would say, unusual move, but strategic move, I suspect, on Donald Trump skipping the debate or planning to skip the debate out in Iowa, scheduled for tomorrow. Let's go ahead and take the first call on that one. We're taking both topics today. Bud is calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Bud.
Good afternoon, Jay.
Yes, sir.
Now, again, Megyn Kelly said something to the effect that the media is what matters, and I think she's got it all wrong. I think what the American people want and desire is what matters. And so I applaud Trump for doing it. I think he's going to get exactly what he wants to. It may well be calculated. But that's the beauty in Donald Trump is he is not a politician and does not have to play this political game that has gone on for way too long, Jay.
Let me play, since you mentioned Megyn, let me play something that Megyn Kelly said last night. Take a listen.
Trump is not used to not controlling things as the chief executive of a large organization. But The truth is, he doesn't get to control the media. And while he's made his position clear about me after that first debate, Roger Ailes made his position clear, too. And, you know, when Trump started it up again this past Saturday and then resumed it again and again and again and again, he was told repeatedly, our debate team is settled.
So there you have it. That was, and that's been Fox's statement. Now, there's been a lot of back and forth. Let me get Jordan and Than's comments on this. We'll take your calls on this and the Planned Parenthood case at 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, your reaction to this. First of all, calculated or not?
Yeah, definitely calculated. What we'll see after Iowa is whether or not the calculation was right or wrong politically. I think that Donald Trump, there's a couple things at play here. One, as he has kind of railed against the Fox News debate and specifically Megyn Kelly. But two, he is at the very top, probably as high as he's going to get in any polls in every state, being the leader in all of those. And so that means the fire was coming from him. It was going to come from him for Iowa, for Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, for New Hampshire, where there's movement there. And so you have to wonder if this was really based on looking at the political calculation. I have nothing to gain. So I will only lose. If I lose a little bit by not going, it probably won't be as bad as if, you know, I'm getting punched from every single person on stage and I have an issue with one of the
managers. Which means this was a bit of a calculated political move here. Not the first person, by the way, President Reagan skipped the debate. Jordan, you said it was different, though, because he was pretty far behind George H.W. Bush, right?
He was in Iowa, so it was not a situation where it was within the margin of error, basically, as it is between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump.
Did McCain skip Iowa altogether?
Yeah, that's right, but it wasn't skipping debates. I mean, that was different, too. So he didn't actively campaign in Iowa. But in this situation, you've got, and that ended up being a calculation that worked in the Republican primary. But this is, again, it's very high profile. He's trying to pitch it as I don't need this. They need me. And I think it was a move really ultimately, and this remains to be seen, if Fox would remove Megyn Kelly, if he can pull some kind of power play like that.
Yeah, I don't see that. But, you know, stranger things have happened. All right, folks, go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 and sign on to our brief going to the Supreme Court of the United States on the issue of life. It's actually out of Texas, of all places, and it's abortion clinic regulations. So if you want to be part of that history, go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. Let me mention to everybody that's watching right now on Facebook and Periscope, watching on our website, or listening on radio. Undemocratic, the paperback version of the book, is coming out in less than a week. We wanted to make the New York Times bestsellers list, and you can help it happen. I think it's retailing for a little over $10. We've added two new chapters, so even if you have the hardback book, this has got two brand new chapters in it. We're going to do a concert live on Facebook next week on it, but we want you to pre-order the book now.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The U.S. Supreme Court is deciding the biggest abortion case in decades. It's a law that could shut down deadly abortion clinics and save countless lives. Texas passed a critical pro-life law requiring basic safety standards at abortion clinics and ensuring that women injured in abortions could be quickly admitted to hospitals. Yet abortionists refuse to comply with these constitutional, common sense standards. Now the stage is set at the U.S. Supreme Court, and in just a matter of days, we will be filing a critical amicus brief to vigorously defend life and defeat big abortion. There's still time to add your name to our brief. Sign on to our committee to defend pro-life laws and save lives. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Give a little bit. The famous Supertramp song done by the Jay Sekulow Band. We're doing a concert next Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, on Facebook and Periscope to celebrate the release of Undemocratic. The book is out in paperback next week, but you can pre-order it now. We encourage you to do it. Help it get it on the New York Times bestsellers list. Make sure you're ordering the paperback version, which has got new, also has two new chapters in it. So we encourage that. Here's the headline in the New York Times. Indictment deals blow to GOP over Planned Parenthood battle. Bogus headline. And it's on 1A? Front page, we'll just say it. 1A. Indictment deals blow to GOP over Planned Parenthood battle. Bogus. And does this tell you what the agenda is, folks? To go after the investigative journalist? So as Jordan Thanem said, none of the pressure on Planned Parenthood is changing here. It's all moving forward. And this is the reality of what we're dealing with. All right, we're taking your calls. We are getting a lot of calls on both the Trump issue and on the Planned Parenthood issue. Let's take one that's more related to the Planned Parenthood, and we'll take a Trump one after that. Doug is calling from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. He is on line one. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
Good.
I'm an Emmy Award-winning investigative journalist from Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Yes, sir.
A former neighbor of yours.
Yeah, I lived in Cherry Hill for a period of time there. You remember the Klein's department store?
Oh, certainly.
Well, my father managed that. He was in training for Klein's, and we lived in Cherry Hill. So, all right. Well, tell me what you – so you're an investigative journalist. Go ahead.
I was also I'm very familiar with the grand jury process,
yep,
as I just was working undercover and solved a murder case and know how the grand jury process works.
Right.
We were all misled by the DA in Texas. When a DA or prosecutor presents a case and asks a grand jury for an indictment, they have an agenda, and they certainly never asked for any indictment against Planned Parenthood.
Doug, you are 100% correct. You don't go into a grand jury saying we're going after and looking if Planned Parenthood committed a crime and come out and say, oh, it was the investigative journalist that committed the crime. Because you're absolutely right. The DA's office presents the evidence to the grand jury. Go ahead and finish.
You're right. They completely control the process.
Right. There's no judge.
So therefore, when they told the public, all of us, that they were investigating Planned Parenthood, that was completely false statements to all of us.
So we've said this. I mean, others have said this too, Doug. And that is, and Jordan, there was some headlines about this today, that 2 months ago, 3 months ago, when this all broke, there was this concern that you had this assistant DA in the office that was not only a supporter of Planned Parenthood, but my goodness, was a board member of Planned Parenthood.
That's right. So not someone who just personally, but I mean, they took that active step of being on the board of the specific Planned Parenthood facility in question. And they were told that, oh, don't worry, this won't taint the investigation, they won't be involved. And yet then you have this very bizarre indictment announced that ignores Planned Parenthood completely and goes after the investigative reporters. And I think for everybody out there who cares about the media and cares about our First Amendment rights, that's what this is really all about.
You know, Than, I want to bring this up to you because we keep telling everybody, we're doing a brief of the Supreme Court in the United States right now on the regulation of abortion clinics. They should be regulated like any ambulatory surgery center. But Planned Parenthood and their ilk think then they should get a free pass. And we think, no, the government has the right to regulate. And now that's at the Supreme Court of the United States. In a moment, folks, I'm going to ask you to sign on to this brief. But we keep telling people, look, Planned Parenthood is a powerful organization. We beat them many times, but they are a powerful organization. And this kind of shows it.
No question about it. And you talk about that case at the Supreme Court, Jay. That is purely about the safety of women. You're talking about safety standards of ambulatory centers. You're also talking about making sure that an abortionist, if something goes wrong, has the right to admit that woman to a hospital. That is what Planned Parenthood is opposing in that particular case. So it's not about, you know, the legality of abortion. It's if something goes wrong, as unfortunately it often does, can that abortionist admit that woman to a hospital? Even that kind of restriction, even that kind of regulation, the abortion industry every time comes out in opposition to.
Folks, I'm going to show you on TV and our website and on Facebook and Periscope exactly what we're talking about here. So Here is the New York Times, okay? New York Times. Front page of the New York Times. Can they see it okay? Facebook? Can you see it okay on TV? New York Times. Right below the fold, front page. See it? Make sure everybody can see it. Let me read it. Indictment deals blow to GOP over Planned Parenthood battle. This is politics, folks. Planned Parenthood's the one that should be investigated, not the investigative journalists. You're going to fight back on this. Gene on Facebook asks, how can anyone think Planned Parenthood didn't break any laws? They almost admitted it. But look, we're in court with them now, they've sued in California, so we're litigating there. We're litigating, that's in San Francisco. I've already made one appearance in that case. And now you've got these indictments. So, and you got the Supreme Court of the United States hearing the case. So a lot going on this front. All right, we're taking more of your calls. 800-684-3110. I also said we'd take some of the calls on the Donald Trump situation. Waylon's been holding a long time out of San Angelo, Texas. Hey, Waylon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jay.
Sure.
To start off with, I've always loved the Kelly Files.
Yeah.
I watch Kelly all the time. But I just flat lost respect over her on the first debate. That was not her show. And for her to go after Trump the way she did, and let me tell you, I'm not a big Trump supporter either.
Okay.
But I lost all respect for Kelly. It wasn't her show. This was a debate between them. And for her to sit there and attack any one of the mediators to attack a candidate up on that stage is wrong.
Well, I mean, you know, but politics is a rough and tumble sport. And running for president is a rough and tumble sport. And, you know, Jordan, you've done presidential campaigns before. I mean, this is a political move as much as anything, though, I suspect.
Yeah, that's right. And so ultimately there may be the personality issue here. But this is, you know, part of the process. First of all, it's Fox News, and so it speaks to a conservative audience, especially the voters, the people who will be likely voters in an Iowa caucus, a New Hampshire primary, in South Carolina. So it has that appearance. And I'm not saying, listen, Donald Trump's going to do a very good job of making sure that that isn't the case, and he's going to pick that fight. But it does have the appearance of he's afraid of what would happen this debate, doesn't want to lose the lead, and so would rather not risk it going up against Ted Cruz, who's right on right tied with him basically in Iowa, or Jeb Bush, who's kind of surging right now in the latest poll in New Hampshire. And so he's got multiple fronts possible, and so he kind of has utilized this war he's had with Fox News, and specifically even calling out Roger Ailes. Who's the director of Fox News. That is not a name necessarily everyone knows off. He's not an on-air personality. But by doing that, you know, he's really picking a fight here.
Yeah, it's a huge calculated move here. We'll talk more about it coming back. Hey, we got another half hour of the program, so Logan's out of town, so I'll tell everybody how you can do it. If you're on SiriusXM, you got us. If you want just the audio, go to ACLJ.org. If you want to see a three-camera shoot, a television-quality broadcast, go to ACLJ.org. Mine is going in and out. I don't know if we're having trouble on the web or not, but that's one way to do it. And, of course, Facebook and Periscope, we're here for you as well. So multiple ways to see it. Sign on to the brief, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. If you want to sign on to the brief, go to the Supreme Court of the United States on the issue of regulations of abortion clinics out of Texas, of all places, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. And folks, buy our book, Undemocratic, available in paperback, wherever books are sold. Two new chapters. We encourage you to buy it. Undemocratic. Back with more in a moment.
Texas passed a critical pro-life law requiring basic safety standards at abortion clinics. Yet abortionists refuse to comply with these constitutional, common sense standards. We will be filing a critical amicus brief to vigorously defend life and defeat big abortion. Sign on to our committee to defend pro-life laws and save lives. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
yesterday. What a great response we got to playing our version of the band song, The Wait. We showed the video of that. I'm going to show another video after show today for Undemocratic. But we rehearsed last night. We're going to do a concert next, for those of you that are just joining us. We're going to do a concert next Tuesday at 9 o'clock at night and encourage everybody to do that. We're going to do a live concert to celebrate the release of Undemocratic. Let me say this also, folks. This Planned Parenthood thing, the New York Times headline tells it all. Indictment deals blow to GOP over Planned Parenthood. This is the headline in the New York Times. Now, the assistant district attorney in this DA's office was not only a supporter of Planned Parenthood, but is a board member of Planned Parenthood. The investigation was supposed to be of Planned Parenthood, and the DA turns it into an investigation of the investigative journalist. And in our view, that's wrong and incorrect. Steve's calling from Pennsylvania on line one. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Thank you, and thanks for what you do.
Thanks.
My question is, if this investigative journalist can be brought up on charges or be indicted on charges of participating in, the trafficking or whatever of body parts, then doesn't that also open the door for bringing indictments against any police officers who do undercover work?
So here, the DA is, once you're inside, there's protection inside the grand jury room. So what goes on inside the grand jury room is not actionable. The DA, I'm just saying the DA had a lot of discretion here because, Jordan, you know this from criminal procedure, the DA goes in, they present the case, then the grand jury decides whether they'll indict or not. They usually, the joke is, and it's not funny, a DA could indict a ham sandwich, get a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich. They say that tongue-in-cheek, but it shows you how much control the district attorney, Jordan, has over the process.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that basically here with the district attorney can direct really where they want the grand jury to look and with what evidence they present. This is not the same as a jury conviction in the actual court proceeding. This is an indictment process. And it was supposed to be well reported that this was really an investigation into Planned Parenthood. And to have this bizarre turn, add to that the assistant district attorney who's on the board, not formally on the board, not one time was on the board, not a family member on the board. They are on the board of the Planned Parenthood
right.
facility in question. The fact that it turned this way is more than bizarre. And again, I don't think that long term it's as if these charges are going to go very far in court, but it gives Planned Parenthood exactly what they wanted, which is the main distraction. As if, see, it's the bad guys behind this video.
Right.
It's not what we're doing.
So then, does that have any play in Washington? I mean, does this do as the New York Times says? Does this indictment deals a blow to the GOP over the Planned Parenthood battle?
Well, no, because I think it's recognized that Planned Parenthood's strategy with an assist from the New York Times is making the pivot that Jordan talked about, changing the narrative, putting the focus on the filmmakers. But, Jay, I actually think that it could backfire for this reason, because by indicting the buyer, or at least someone posing as a buyer, they have essentially admitted that there was a seller. So when that investigative journalist goes in and claims their First Amendment defense, whether or not they win that, it won't change the fact that Planned Parenthood on those videos was the seller.
Yeah, so this is fascinating. Will Haynes put up in the chat here, and it's right. One thing it does do, it gives Planned Parenthood a front-page story on the New York Times to get their narrative out there. A lot of interesting comments coming in. Lisa from Facebook says, seems like the ACLJ is the only group fighting this Planned Parenthood fiasco. Not true. We're one of the groups. There's a lot of groups fighting Planned Parenthood. I don't want to take credit. We're obviously committed to doing everything we can to defeat them, but we're getting a lot of help. A lot of friends are also litigating this. Caleb writes, isn't this whistleblower reprisal? Sure looks what it looks like. Also, First Amendment privilege. All right, folks, taking a break. We come back. Your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget our book, Undemocratic. Paperback edition comes out next Tuesday. Pre-order it now. Help us get it on the New York Times bestsellers list again. Undemocratic. We encourage you to get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Back with more in a moment.
The U.S. Supreme Court is deciding the biggest abortion case in decades. It's a law that could shut down deadly abortion clinics and save countless lives. Texas passed a critical pro-life law requiring basic safety standards at abortion clinics and ensuring that women injured in abortions could be quickly admitted to hospitals. Yet abortionists refuse to comply with these constitutional, common sense standards. Now the stage is set at the U.S. Supreme Court, and in just a matter of days, we will be filing a critical amicus brief to vigorously defend life and defeat big abortion. There's still time to add your name to our brief. Sign on to our committee to defend pro-life laws and save lives. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
All right, so the song you're hearing is Undemocratic. That is in a song written for our book, Undemocratic, which is now out in paperback with two new chapters added to it. It releases next Tuesday, and we want you to get this book and pre-order today on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books, because if we get on the New York Times bestsellers list, folks, it means it gets into a lot more people's hands, highlighted in the stores. Really encourage you to get the book and get a couple for your friends. Paperback, it's great. We encourage you to do it. Penny on Facebook just said she loves the song, great song and lyrics. If we get enough comments and people want to hear it, we're certain, it looks like we are. I can't monitor all those while we're doing this, but Will will, and the social media team will. We'll play the music video when we're done at the end. All right, let's go ahead and grab the calls. We're talking about a variety of things from Donald Trump to Planned Parenthood. Let's go ahead and take Patrick calling from Oxford, Alabama. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Jay, how are you doing?
Good, sir.
Hey, I was talking about Donald Trump. I've not made up my mind who I was going to vote for. But, you know, people say they love Donald Trump or hate him. I'm indifferent. But it just shows that he can dish it out all day long, but then when it comes to taking it, he winds up being like a little baby and can't take it.
Well, this is – Jordan, is this a possible – I mean, you said, you know, we're not going to know until the Iowa caucus comes out, but it could be perceived that way.
Yeah, especially by voters who are not as engaged. And so if you haven't been watching the process as closely, now a lot of people in Iowa have, but still, as Stan pointed out, you know, most of the, a significant amount of these voters, up to maybe 30%, who will caucus on Monday night, have not made up their mind. So they would have had a chance to see the candidates, all of them, one more time.
Sure.
And it's Donald Trump even said this. It's been the debates have been pretty good for him. And so, again, I think it is taking a risk, and it could look like, yes, he's talking tough, but it could look like an act of weakness. We'll see, really, we don't have to wait long on this one. We'll see when the voters caucus Monday. And I think that if Ted Cruz does edge him out in the Iowa caucus and he's not getting that turnout, that could cause trouble for him in New Hampshire. You could see that you could point back to this one decision as when they went too far and overcalculated.
All right, let me take another phone call here. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We got Laurie calling in from Facebook. Hey, Laurie.
Hi, Jay. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling because I wanted to point out that people are not really looking at the whole money chain that is involved in the Planned Parenthood. Actually, it's the entire abortion industry.
Right.
One of the things that I think that people are unaware of is that not only do the body baby parts that are being sold through the procurement people go to universities for research, and the research is being paid for by the federal government also.
With your taxpayer dollars.
Institutes of Health.
Yeah, with tech.
And I think that a lot of people are really unaware of, it's not just the amount of money that Planned Parenthood and other people are getting. It's just...
Sure. So, Than, let me ask this to Than, because the money is, when we always say follow the money, it's a significant flow of funds.
It's astronomical. These are bigger
figures. Hundreds of millions, not billions of dollars.
To the tune of $554 million from taxpayers each and every year. So it's not just NIH, it's Title X, it's Medicare reimbursement, it's all of that. But, Jay, it's about half of their $1.3 billion revenue stream. And here's the other point to point out to Lori. The only services that go down at Planned Parenthood are those that are given to pregnant women. You're talking about adoption, referrals, and prenatal services. The other ones continue to go up. Abortion was fairly flat over the last year, but they're at $324,000 a year. So they get a half a billion of your taxpayer dollars, and they use it primarily for abortions.
You know, it's interesting. Cindy from Facebook writes, it was an outrageous decision, talking about the grand jury indictments. That really surprised me. The double standard is in place. Where is the media screaming about First Amendment rights now? That's where they should be, but instead the New York Times is putting on the front page, indictment deals blow to GOP over Planned Parenthood battle. Well, that's the problem. But that's why you fight back against Planned Parenthood. You don't give up. And we've got a case at the Supreme Court of the United States, and it involves abortion clinics of all places out of Texas. And you can be part of that history and be part of that brief. We encourage you to go to ACLJ.org, sign on to that brief, or 1-877-989-2255. So ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We're going to go right back to our phones. Arnold, you've been holding for a long time. We are going to send you a book because you've been hanging on for 20 minutes. Go ahead, Arnold. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Jay. I just want to say you guys are doing yeoman's work.
Thanks.
I've been following you for years, and I really appreciate what
you
do, and God bless you and your
appreciate
staff.
It.
Hey, I just want to comment on the Trump thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think Donald Trump has been good for stirring the pot, bringing things to the surface that's been kind of covered up. However, I do not like the fact that he's bowing out for the reasons that he's bowing out of the debate tomorrow. He blames Megyn Kelly. And like her or dislike her, what she asked of him, that first debate, that question about the comments he made about women, wasn't an attack on him personally. It's stuff that, like you said, running
it's a full contact. I mean, you're running for president of the United States. It's a full contact sport. So,
right.
You know, I mean, Donald Trump's a tough guy. Here's the here's Donald Trump. Let me first. Well, you want to talk about the let me first play Donald Trump's reaction. Number one. To the why he's pulling out of the debate. This is what he said.
Well, Fox is playing games, yeah. Fox is going to make a fortune. I told Fox you should give money to the wounded warriors. I'm not a fan of Megyn Kelly. I think she's a third-rate reporter. I think she, frankly, is not good at what she does. And I think they could do a lot better than Megyn Kelly. And so I'm going to be making a decision with Fox, but I probably won't bother doing the debate.
You know, here's the thing. Megyn Kelly's not a third-rate reporter. So, I mean, I think that's hyperbole, obviously. I think you got to have a thick skin, which Donald Trump has, but let's put it in context of exactly what happened. So this was during that first debate.
In particular, when it comes to women. You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account...
Only Rosie
several...
O'Donnell.
No, it wasn't. For the record... It was well beyond Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Your Twitter account has several disparaging comments about women's looks. Does that sound to you like the temperament of a man we should elect as president?
So here's the question. Was that a legitimate question to ask a presidential candidate to the United States presidency, a candidate for the presidency of the United States? Is that a legitimate question? So before you attack Megyn Kelly or don't attack Megyn Kelly, is that a legitimate question? I'm going to go to Than first, then Jordan, and I'll give you my view.
Jay, that exchange with Megyn Kelly was not an unusually tough one. I would say it was kind of normal. Probably the most offensive part were Donald Trump's own words. But literally, if he can't take that question, he probably should skip the debate because there are going to be more that are tougher than that.
So, Jordan, your thoughts?
Imagine if any other candidate up there, imagine if Rand Paul, if Ted Cruz, if Jeb Bush, if they're using those kind of words to describe women or to describe anyone. They would be asked about it, by the way. I mean, it would be asked. If Chris Christie, who's known for being tough, kind of similar to Donald Trump, had went that far and used that kind of language, and none of them have, by the way, I want to make that clear, but they would be asked about it. I mean, the truth is Donald Trump wasn't denying it. So it is kind of fair game because this is what comes up, especially if you make it through the nomination process. This is what comes up from the other side, from especially someone like a Hillary Clinton. They would be running those statements and comments over and over and over again, right. And it could have a significant impact on women's vote in America.
All right, so let me give you my view of the thing. So I argue cases at the Supreme Court of the United States, and here's the deal. A justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, and I'm not running for president. This is just a justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. They ask me a question, guess what I have to do? Answer it. I can answer it the way I want to answer it, but I have to answer. There's no question. I can't go to the Supreme Court of the United States and say that question is off limits. You're just not allowed to do that. Now, the question would be, should have this been the first question out of the gate for that debate? But evidently, it didn't hurt Mr. Trump much because he's leading in most, well, he's leading nationally in every single poll. But look, when I'm arguing cases at the Supreme Court of the United States, I don't get to not answer a question. So if you're running for president of the United States, you know, I think you got to answer the question. Now, like I said, should have it been the first question? Was the tone right? You could argue both sides of that. But Donald Trump's a smart guy. He could have answered the question. He did answer the question. Actually, it sounded like the audience was actually kind of going with him, if I remember correctly, in a lot of that. But, you know, this is, you're running for president. Full contact sport. So this is different than Ronald Reagan, who was not winning in Iowa, weren't really competing in Iowa. He's running ahead in Iowa. And the question will be, you know, does the calculation work? All right, coming up, we're going to do a rapid-fire round. I'm going to try to grab, I better not try to grab one call before this. We've only got about a minute and 15 seconds left. Let me ask you to do a couple things. One, sign on to the brief. Supreme Court of the United States, briefs on abortion. The case is out of Texas, and it involves abortion clinics. And you could be signing on to a brief that those clinics should be regulated. It's that simple. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. But the easiest way is just go to ACLJ.org and sign on to the petition there. I also encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. Easy way to do that, ACLJ.org. Just go to the website, any amount you donate, tax deductible. Our book, Undemocratic, is out in less than a week. It is brand new, two new chapters. It is the paperback version, and we have a goal to get this book onto the New York Times bestsellers list. What that does, it gets in the hands of more people. I think it's retailing for a little over $10. I'm going to encourage you now, if you do it today, it really helps us. If we want to get it up that Amazon list, up the Barnes & Noble list, just go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, wherever you order the books. You pre-order today, that will count for the pre-sales. So again, let me encourage you to go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books, and get a copy of Undemocratic. We encourage you to do that today. Again, get the paperback version. Back with more in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The U.S. Supreme Court is deciding the biggest abortion case in decades. It's a law that could shut down deadly abortion clinics and save countless lives. Texas passed a critical pro-life law requiring basic safety standards at abortion clinics and ensuring that women injured in abortions could be quickly admitted to hospitals. Yet abortionists refuse to comply with these constitutional, common sense standards. Now the stage is set at the U.S. Supreme Court, and in just a matter of days, we will be filing a critical amicus brief to vigorously defend life and defeat big abortion. There's still time to add your name to our brief. Sign on to our committee to defend pro-life laws and save lives. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Renee on Facebook writes, I would hate to be on Donald Trump's bad side. Imagine a president who has such a vicious temperament. I mean, he's a tough guy. And I think that some people find that to make him an attractive candidate because he's a tough guy. But again, you know, I think that the nature, I don't think the Megyn Kelly question was off limits. I question whether it should have been out of the gate or not, but that's just me. Cindy, you've been holding forever. I'm going to send you one of our books, but go ahead and your comment, please.
Okay. I just think it's funny that Megyn Kelly asked Donald about what he was saying about the women and stuff, because he needs to answer, you know, for what he says. He runs off the mouth, thinks he can say anything and everything, and not be questioned about it. And I think it was a good thing that she did ask him about it.
As a woman, were you offended with his? Were you offended with what he said, Cindy?
Yeah. Okay. I think, you know, and he's been after Carly. You know, he's said rude remarks to her, and I think it's totally out of line. And I just wanted to ask you a question.
Yep.
Do you remember what your job was like before Obama got in office?
It's, you know, each election has a different, the result of the elections have a different impact to the work of the ACLJ. And different events have an impact on the work of the ACLJ. So if I look at the course of, like, when we first launched, really started, it was at the very end of the Reagan administration and the beginning of the George H.W. Bush administration, and we just were a small group just starting. Then we had the Clinton years, and we had more governmental involvement. Then when George W. Bush was elected and we had the attack of 9/11, our national security practice group got large and significant. We started doing work all over the world. And, Jordan, that's when we started building offices all over the world.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so the international impact, which has played significant roles in cases, continues to do so. And listen, I think that whoever becomes president next, it will be different. It will pose a whole different, and we're always ready for that. We've increased, you know, our government affairs in Washington, D.C., our presence there. Than speaks directly to that as his almost daily appearance on this broadcast and the importance we put on our relationship with federal government officials and working with them on the key issues as well, if that's representing, if it's policy briefing, right, and increasing to that team as well. On the human rights side, that was something, again, really that's only been in the last decade or so where it's gone international in scope when it comes to this the persecution of Christians. We saw discrimination of Christians similar to what happens here in the United States going on in Europe when we first got involved there.
But
we're involved in other countries as well. I mean, it started out in France and Russia, but has expanded to places where it's not discrimination, it's life or death persecution.
Yeah, Pat, we have offices in Pakistan. We have offices in the places I don't even mention. We've got offices in Africa. So, I mean, it changes. Every one of these, every administration brings a different twist. But if you're a smart organization, you go, I always say, pray with your eyes open. See where God's moving. Make sure you're going to the right place there. All right, this is a rapid fire round. So we're starting with Bob in Indianapolis, Indiana. Bob, go ahead.
How's it going, sir? I just want to tell you, you know, there's a method behind his madness, and exactly what it is
kind of like,
it's a Jerry Springer type of situation to where if he doesn't go to this, then the next day, people compete to interview him, and then he'll get to say whatever he wants.
Well, he may be even, Bob, he may, and Than, I know they're talking about this. I don't know what you're hearing in Washington from the RNC, but he may be doing a competing event.
Oh, yeah, I think he's going to try to go up on TV with a competing event, and I would just say this to Bob. We're going to know the verdict very soon, and the verdict on whether or not he gets away with this is really up to Iowa voters. If he wins Iowa, he got away with it.
Yeah, so then it'll be in a good calculation in his way. David's calling from Tampa, Florida. Hi, David.
Hi, Jay.
Yep.
I wanted to ask, how far up the ladder does this push from this DA go about the Planned Parenthood issue? Does
so the,
it go
in a case like
up?
So in a case like this, when you've got the state of Texas asking for the investigations, the district attorney themselves is elected position. That is, in this case, it's a Republican, by the way. She took over for her husband who died in office, was appointed by the governor. And a case like this that's this high profile, the district attorney's heavily involved. I mean, this is not something where the DA is not involved. I mean, the DA is involved here. This is high profile, high stakes stuff. So the idea that the DA wouldn't be involved is just not correct. I mean, this was a high stake move. I think this is completely wrong what has happened here. And again, this is the abortion distortion factor in play, and that's what we're dealing with. All right, folks, we're in rapid fire round. We've got a few phone lines open for you. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Also, let us know if you want us to stay after. I'll stay after a few minutes. We'll play that entire lyric video from the song Undemocratic about the books, but you got to post some notes on Facebook or Periscope and let us know, and our social media people will monitor that and see if enough folks want to see it. We'll stay after and play it. If not, that's no problem either. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. John is next from Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, John.
Hi, Jay. First off, as a pastor, I want to say God bless you all
Thank
for the
you.
Work that you do.
Thanks.
But secondly, on this issue with the DA that's handling the Planned Parenthood case, something smells rotten in the state of Texas. And that's based off the fact that the information I've seen shows that she sits on the board of directors.
Well, not the DA herself, but an assistant district attorney is not just a supporter of Planned Parenthood, is a board member of Planned Parenthood. And Jordan, that's a whole different level of engagement.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the Planned Parenthood being investigated, by the way.
Yeah, the specific Planned Parenthood facility, largest in the world, Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast. And so they not just decided to be a financial contributor, but have taken that active role of sitting on the board of that Planned Parenthood. And then you come out with this backwards indictment where it is the investigative journalist who are, and listen, you know, if they were liberals, they'd be called investigative journalists. This would be, you'd have the president commenting on this. But because it involves Planned Parenthood, suddenly they are the criminals.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take some more calls. Sherry's calling from Maryland. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Jay. How you doing?
Good.
My thoughts are about Donald Trump and that the American people should wake up, I think. To me, he's kind of like the last election, someone new, someone that's going to take care of this, who speaks out, you know, and that they really should vote for someone that, knows the Constitution.
Well, he's got, some people, you told the call screener that, you know, it seems like to you maybe a decoy there by the Democrats. The fact is, then, he's getting, a tremendous amount of Republican, we don't endorse or oppose candidates on the program, but he's getting a tremendous amount of his numbers nationally are high.
Well, and he's running in the Republican primary. So the beautiful thing about our way of government, Jay, is Republican voters, Republican primary voters or caucus participants will determine the nominee. He's running as a Republican, and Republican voters are ultimately going to decide their nominee.
That's exactly right. Good cut question, though. Melanie is calling from Missouri. Hi, Melanie.
Hi. Yep. I'd like to know, how's a grand jury chosen? By whom? And if it's the judge, that kind of explains the outcome, doesn't it?
Yeah, so the grand jury is a jury of peers. It's a jury of citizens. They're selected like you would select a grand jury, a jury for a trial case, a trial court case, civil or criminal case. So it's selected from the citizens of the county. And that's how the grand jury is what's called impaneled. But the impaneling of the grand jury is done by the district attorney. The DA, when you say impanels the grand jury, he says we're going to do it, select a grand jury. We get all these citizens. We select the grand jury. And then we present the evidence for that we believe constitutes a particular crime or investigation. And that's where something happened here in this particular case. Hey, folks, I think we're getting... A lot of calls. Okay, a lot of folks want to see the Undemocratic music video, so we will play that on Facebook and Periscope. For those on radio, again, if you want to sign the brief, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. You're getting an email today from us about our updated book, the paperback version of Undemocratic, and we encourage you to get it wherever you get books. Get Undemocratic. The paperback, make sure it's a paperback edition. We're going to make sure we get that on the New York Times list. And we'll have more in just a couple of days on some other developments. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.